Oscar, we're going to stick with you with story number two. Story number two, I sort of referenced when Jean was giving his overview about what happened based on the recent legislative session. And that is the disaster that occurred in Surfside, which is a community on the barrier island located between Miami Beach and Sunny Isles and Bell Harbor. As mentioned, about 100 people died, $98 billion settlement was paid out. So the federal government has sent down a group to go ahead and take a look at it. They're spending a ton of cash to try to understand how could the tower collapse, because they want to try to avoid it in the future. So a tentative determination has come out. So that's what the story is about. It's coming out of National Public Radio, NPR. So Oscar, I'll read you the headline, first couple graphs, and I want you to comment. Headline, again, NPR. Investigators narrow search into cause of deadly Florida condo collapse in Surfside. And here we go, first couple graphs. A federal team investigating the cause of the 2021 collapse of a Florida condominium tower continues to focus on construction flaws in the building's pool deck. 98 people died when the Champlain Tower South condominium came down in Surfside. A team from the National Institute of Standards and Technology has spent nearly $30 million gathering evidence and testing materials used in the building's construction. In an update Thursday at a NIST headquarters in Gatlinburg, Maryland, investigators said tests show concrete used in the pool deck and in the columns that supported it were weaker than required by building codes. In addition, because of added weight from planters that had been added to the pool area years later, the deck and columns were subjected to more stress than they were designed for. Because of design flaws, investigators say water from the depth constantly seeped into the garage area under the pool, helping to corrode steel in the support columns. But Glenn Bell, NIST's co-lead investigator, says videos also show there was a movement in the tower structure itself before the collapse. Mr. Musabai, a lot of money and a lot of experts are taking a look at this for obvious reasons. This is something that's going to take a long time to finally come to a determination. What's your sense so far from what you're reading, what you're hearing, and how worried should people be if they live in a condominium that was built several years ago? This particular building was built in the 80s. How worried should individual unit owners be about living in their places, especially if they have a pool deck that's fronting the Atlantic Ocean and is on the sands?
So I think the reality of living in Miami Beach and Miami overall is that water is pretty much everywhere where high-rises are going to be. And the reality is that over the years, boards have to be aggressive and bring in inspectors regularly to make sure that they get accurate and up-to-date information about how buildings are faring in the weather that we have, and to make sure that they're not ignoring those reports, because there are, you know, boards are made up of regular homeowners, and sometimes they're incentivized not to pay attention to things like this because the costs might be too high to repair, or maybe they're going to sell and they don't want to, lower the value of their property. I think that overall people are great and they're going to do the best job they can. And in these buildings, I think that whether it's two stories or, 110 feet, you got to make sure that every component of the project is checked regularly and that it's people who are reliable. I remember reading stories about some of the people that were inspecting that building, and there were questions about the reliability of some of the reports that they made. And I know that the story that I read said that the report seemed to indicate that the pool was probably where the collapse began. So as they had thought originally from the video that they had seen. So, it's very similar to what happened after Andrew, because what happened after Andrew is that we saw all this incredible damage that was done in South Miami-Dade County. And they realized...
Oscar, if I could interrupt you, anybody who doesn't know what Andrew is, could you just give them just catch them up to date what you're referring to with Hurricane Andrew in August of 1992?
So Andrew was a Category 5 hurricane. Is that correct? That's my recollection. It was a cat.
Yes.
And what happened was that it came through South Dade and it spawned tornadoes. So not only did you have this very slow-moving hurricane that went over the land, but it also spawned tornadoes that devastated neighborhoods. So when you saw the video of these neighborhoods, you would see one block that was perfectly normal, and then the next block that was completely gone. All the roofs were gone. You know, you would see a boat next to a house that had been in a river or, you know, somewhere else near the water. And people were astounded as to how much damage it created. And what they realized is that a lot of the houses that had been built prior to the hurricane had not had the proper infrastructure. And that created a lot of problem and a lot of damage. And as a result, they changed the construction rules as to how houses had to be built. And the same thing is happening in Miami-Dade, and particularly on the coast, with older buildings and new buildings. Everything has to be checked. Everything has to be, you know, reinforced. In some cases, architects are actually building structures that have levels on the ground floor that are designed to flood. So if there is a problem and there's a lot of flooding and that happens in Miami Beach, it will be salvageable or the damage will be limited. So these are some of the things that we're doing in Florida and specifically in South Florida to address these issues. And I think the Surfside situation will continue to yield information that will be helpful to us as we continue forward.